In this last conference on the theme of the spirituality of Pope John Paul II, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, the triple sacrament of the Eucharist. Father Hardin.
Those who knew Pope John Paul II before his election to the papacy testify to his great personal devotion to the Eucharist. He would spend much time before the Blessed Sacrament, and during his world-renowned pilgrimage for 7 days in the United States, witnesses say that he still managed to spend a full holy hour daily before the Blessed Sacrament, besides saying his divine office, his rosary, and offering the holy sacrifice. Out of what is becoming a Eucharistic library of the Pope's teaching, I wish to concentrate on what he says in his first encyclical, Redemptor Hominis. My plan is to explain what the Holy Father's teaching on the Eucharist in this document means, while drawing on his other writings to fill out the explanation. By way of introduction, he declares how beyond full human understanding is this mystery. I quote, "The Church lives by the Eucharist, by the fullness of this sacrament, the stupendous content and meaning of which have been expressed in the Church's magisterium from the most distant times down to our own days. However, we can say with certainty that although this teaching is sustained by the acuteness of theologians, by men of deep faith and prayer, and by ascetics and mystics, in complete fidelity to the Eucharistic mystery, it still remains no more than the threshold, since it is impossible to grasp and translate into words what the Eucharist in its fullness really means. The Eucharist is the ineffable sacrament." Unquote. The Pope. Having stated this, that the Eucharist cannot be fully comprehended by the human mind, the Pope goes on to say that we can, however, grasp something of the meaning of this mystery by seeing it as one sacrament, of course, but a sacrament with three distinct functions as a channel of divine grace. The Eucharist, we are told, and I quote, is at one and the same time a sacrifice sacrament, a communion sacrament, and a presence sacrament. Unquote. Again, the Holy Father. There is deep penetration into the meaning of the Eucharist in this simple declarative sentence of the Vicar of Christ. And I feel sure it marks the beginning of a new and more profound understanding of the Eucharist into the future. Before his election to the papacy, Cardinal Wojtyla had the reputation of being one of the two greatest theological minds in the Church. I would like to examine the Pope's teaching in four stages as follows. First, what is a sacrament? Speaking broadly. Second, how is the Eucharist a sacrifice sacrament? Third, how is the Eucharist a communion sacrament? And finally, how is the Eucharist the presence sacrament? First then, what is a sacrament? In the widest sense of the term, as the Church is coming to use this expression, a sacrament is these six things, with apologies for theologizing on Christmas Day. It is first a visible or sensibly perceptible object or ritual. Second, instituted by Christ. Third, which externally symbolizes the distinctive internal grace. That fourth, is infallibly conferred. Fifth, on those who use or receive the visible object or ritual in faith. And sixth, in greater or less measure, according to their dispositions of soul. There are accordingly these elements to a sacrament. Something sensibly perceptible that Christ instituted, which signifies a special grace, that is, as it were, automatically conferred on persons who use what Christ instituted. Yet finally, the amount of grace they receive depends on the disposition with which they use or receive the sacrament. We are now a little better prepared to apply these principles to the Holy Eucharist on each of its three forms as sacrament. The Eucharist as sacrifice sacrament. The language we are hearing is a bit strange. Sacrifice sacrament. What does the Pope mean? He means that the sacrifice of the Mass is, of course, a sacrifice, because in the Mass we have the same priest and victim, Jesus Christ, who offered himself on the cross for the redemption of the world. But while being a sacrifice, in which Christ continues to offer himself in an unbody manner to his Heavenly Father, the Mass is also a sacrament. How is the Mass a sacrament? It is a sacrament because, like all sacraments, it confers the grace it signifies. The Mass is a source of grace. It is a channel of grace. It is a means, in fact, a cause of grace. What is the distinctive sacramental grace conferred by the Mass? The special grace conferred by the Mass as sacrament is the grace of divine mercy on sinners. Sacramentum Misericordiae, the Sacrament of Mercy. Through the Mass, sinners estranged from God in mortal sin receive actual graces, urging them to repentance and reconciliation with an offended divine majesty. Through the Mass, the grace of forgiveness of venial sins is received. Through the Mass, the grace of expiation for the punishment due to forgiven sins is obtained. There is no more effective way on earth of obtaining remission for the punishment due to sin than through the Mass. Just because the Mass is offered, the whole human race is affected by an outpouring of graces that benefit all of mankind. St. Lawrence of Port Maurice, a great Eucharistic saint, once declared that the world would long ago have been destroyed for its sins, except for the frequent and constant offering of the sacrifice of the Mass, since the Last Supper to the present day. But if the Mass is universally beneficial on all people, who benefits the most from the sacramental graces of divine mercy that are produced by the Mass? Those who live lives of the greatest sacrifice. Sacrifice on our part must meet sacrifice on Christ's part. In the degree to which we sacrifice the precious things we love to make up for our own sins and the sins of the whole world, in that degree, the Mass as sacrifice sacrament will affect and pour out mercy on a sinful world. The Eucharist as communion sacrament. Under this title, I dare say the Eucharist is very well known. In fact, I suppose, for many people, this is the only idea they have of the Eucharist as sacrament. Ask anyone to name the seven sacraments: baptism, confirmation, Holy Communion, Eucharist as communion, penance, holy orders, matrimony, and anointing. What do we understand by communion as a sacrament? Well, let's make sure we keep telling ourselves it is only one third of the Eucharist. By communion as a sacrament, we understand that provided a person is in God's friendship and has at least the minimum good intentions, he receives divine grace from the Eucharistic reception. The person receives an increase of sanctifying grace, actual graces, and the special sacramental grace of Holy Communion, which is a greater love of God and of others from every communion worthily received. If the distinctive sacramental grace of the Mass is mercy, the distinctive sacramental grace of communion is love. We get some idea of the importance of the Eucharist as communion sacrament when we stop to reflect on the fact that without daily Holy Communion, it would be impossible for religious communities to survive. As a matter of fact, they would never have come into existence in the first place. Holy Communion is the principal source of strength that those living in communities need to live with others, a great supernatural achievement. Day after day, in patience and humility and generosity, in a word, in Christ-like charity. The same applies to families. Nothing under heaven is more needed by Christian spouses to remain faithful and loving to each other and to accept the children that God wants to give them than the frequent, even daily reception of the Eucharist as communion sacrament. I've learned many things in the priesthood. This is one I'm absolutely sure of. But again, while every Holy Communion gives some grace to those who receive worthily, it gives more and more grace the more selfless is a person when he or she approaches the table of the Lord. If sacrifice on our part is to meet sacrifice on Christ's part, to benefit maximally from the Mass as sacrifice sacrament, so selflessness on our part must meet selflessness on Christ's part to obtain all the grace, and it is infinite, available to us in the communion sacrament. Finally, the Eucharist as Presence Sacrament. This, I dare say, is especially needed in a world that I am afraid in so many parts of the Catholic Church has sadly neglected. What does the Pope mean when he identifies the third of the three functions of the Eucharist here as Presence Sacrament? He means that the Eucharist confers grace not only through the Mass and through Holy Communion, But through the simple but astounding fact that Christ, Jesus Christ, is on earth. Makes supernatural sense, doesn't it? Is it conceivable that the Son of God in human form would be on earth without affecting the world in which he was present? We read in the Gospels that Christ's physical presence was the source of blessings that literally went out from him. Recall the narrative as described by St. Luke about the woman, recall, who had been sick with bleeding for years. Luke the physician is diagnostically detailed. Now there was a woman suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years, whom no one had been able to cure. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and the hemorrhage stopped at that instant. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When they all denied that they had, Peter and his companions said, "Master, it is the crowds around you pushing." But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me. I felt that power had gone out from me." Seeing herself discovered, the woman came forward trembling and falling at his feet, explained in front of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been cured at that very moment. "My daughter," he said, "your faith has restored you to health. Go in peace." Faith tells us then, it is the self-same Jesus who is now present in the Eucharist, has walked the streets of Palestine and worked miracles just by being around. The faithful contemporaries of Christ sensed the value of being physically near him in order to be more sure to obtain the graces that they knew only he could confer. Remember the sinful woman at Christ's feet that she watered with her tears and wiped with her hair? She wanted to be nearby. And the Magdalene, after Christ's resurrection, had to be told, "That's enough," when she clung to the Savior. Recall the miracles that Jesus worked by a word or a touch, where his human voice or human hands were the instrument of divine power that because he was God, he released to heal, to forgive, and even by a word to raise from the dead. Recall how after the resurrection, Christ told the doubting Thomas to place his fingers into the place of the nails and his hand into Christ's side. Christ came to be with us. He wants us to be near him. In other words, Christ's physical presence, when he was visibly on earth, was the channel of marvelous grace, whose influence will remain until the end of time. But it's the same, mathematically, numerically, identical Savior who is here. Consequently, Christ's physical presence in the Eucharist is a sacrament, even as his physical presence during his visible stay on earth was a sacrament. Pouring out, or emanating, or radiating divine power on everyone to some degree, but in greatest abundance on those who respond to this Eucharistic presence with faith, and even with external signs of piety. This is going to be a long conclusion, but in conclusion, I cannot do better, I think, than to quote from the Holy Father's homily at the Mass he offered in Dublin, 2 hours after he landed in Ireland, on September the 29th of this year. It was the first religious act of the Pope on his pilgrimage to the land, as he said, of St. Patrick. It was a long homily. Evidently, the Irish don't mind. He began by telling the people, I have come to you as Bishop of Rome and Pastor of the whole Church in order to celebrate this union with you in the sacrifice of the Eucharist here in Ireland's capital city of Dublin for the first time in Irish history. Before he finished, he told the people many things, but for our purpose, especially the following. I wish at this time to recall to you an important truth affirmed by the Second Vatican Council, namely, the spiritual life is not confined to participation in the liturgy. And so I encourage you, in the other exercises of devotion that you have lovingly preserved for centuries, especially those in regard to the Blessed Sacrament, these acts of piety honor God and are useful for our Christian lives. They give joy to our hearts and help us to appreciate more the liturgical worship of the Church. The visit to the Blessed Sacrament, so much a part of Ireland, so much a part of your piety, is a great treasure of the Catholic faith. It nourishes social love and gives us opportunities for adoration and thanksgiving, for reparation and supplication. Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, exposition and adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, holy hours and Eucharistic processions are precious elements of your heritage. It is my joy to reaffirm before Ireland and the whole world the wonderful teaching of the Catholic Church regarding Christ's consoling presence in the Blessed Sacrament. His real presence in the fullest sense, the substantial presence by which the whole and complete Christ, God and man, is present. The Eucharist, in the Mass and outside of the Mass, is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and is therefore deserving of the worship that is given to the living God and to Him alone. And so, dear brothers and sisters, every act of reverence, every genuflection that you make before the Blessed Sacrament is important, because it is an act of faith in Christ, an act of love for Christ. And every sign of the cross and gesture of respect made each time you pass a church is also an act of faith. May God preserve you in this faith, this holy Catholic faith, this faith in the Blessed Sacrament. Unquote, our Holy Father. Thank God for these words. What, we might ask, is the special sacramental grace that Christ gives through the Eucharist as presence sacrament? Recall, the Mass as sacrament confers the grace of mercy. Communion as sacrament gives us the grace of selfless love. And the real presence confers the grace of intimacy with Christ. It is the grace of experiencing His nearness. It is the grace of quiet certainty that Jesus is here with me, that He cares. It is a grace which enlightens the faith to see. But once again, although Christ will confer something of this grace on everyone who believes in the real presence, He will literally pour out these blessings on those who believe strongly and simply, and who act on their faith by all the ways that a loving faith can devise. What's the secret of obtaining all the possible grace available from the Holy Eucharist as presence sacrament? It is to take literally the invitation that Martha carried from Jesus to her sister Mary. Remember? She came to tell her, "The Master is here, and He wants to see you." It assumes, of course, that we believe the Master is here. And that He wants to see us. Provided we want to be where He is, He will do the rest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.